Good morning, and thank you everyone for joining us today. My name is Diane Byram, and I serve as State Director for Protect Our Care Michigan. Protect Our Care is leading the fight to protect and strengthen healthcare for millions of Americans. The COVID-19 pandemic is showing us firsthand the significance of healthcare in our country and why protecting the Affordable Care Act is so important. Today, I am joined by Brad Woodhouse, Executive Director of Protect Our Care, Jim Williams with Public Policy Polling, Dr. Rob Davidson, Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Medicare, and State Representative Abdullah Hamoud, who is also an epidemiologist by profession. On today's call, we will discuss a recent poll that found most Michigan voters disapprove of Trump's handling of the COVID-19 crisis. In fact, the poll also found voters feel Governor Gretchen Whitmer is doing a much better job of handling the crisis here in Michigan. Now I'm going to turn it over to Brad Woodhouse. Brad, you have the microphone.
Great. Thank you, Diane. And first of all, I want to thank you and your team there and Public Policy Polling and our other speakers for working on this, poll together. We did a similar poll about a month ago, and we found then, as we have found now, that the president's that Michiganders disapprove of the president's response to the coronavirus and approve of Governor Whitmer's response. And while the president has gone around and he held a press conference in the Oval Garden saying that we had prevailed over the coronavirus, that we had prevailed on testing, he's encouraging states to reopen. He's giving the appearance that his performance has been better than abysmal, which it has not. And he is, trying in the few places take credit for what good governors and local officials have done to begin to address the crisis. But it's not working. It's certainly not working in Michigan among the people that we polled. I mean, the president believes, and he's believed since the very beginning, that his rhetoric and his bully pulpit can overcome a virus. And the facts are in now, and it's clear that was never, of course, possible. It's folly to believe that he can talk down an infectious disease, an infectious virus, that he can talk down a global pandemic. Here's where we are. Sometime, might be on Memorial Day or shortly thereafter, America will hit 100,000 deaths. We're already leading the world in deaths. We're leading the world in cases. And we now know two studies came out last night, were published, that show that had we taken this, had President Trump, more seriously, because he was warned. He was warned by people in his cabinet. He was warned by his HHS secretary. He was warned by the WHO. But he tried to play this down. But these studies showed that had he taken this more seriously, had the country taken it more seriously, if he'd not been playing it down, thousands and thousands of lives would have been saved. That one estimate is, or one study showed, that had we started social distancing in this country 1 week earlier than we did, 36,000 lives would have been spared. And had we started just 2 weeks earlier, 54,000 lives would have been spared. Instead, we are, perhaps ominously, on Memorial Day, going to hit, or right thereafter, hit 100,000 deaths. And this is all a result. The fact that we had to shut the economy down, the fact that so many people have died, the fact that this pandemic is hardly abating, even though the president would like to say that it is a direct result of his failure to prepare this country, his failure to take this virus seriously. And, there's a lot of talk about bending the curve and reopening and gating criteria for reopening various states. And Michigan, under the leadership of Governor Whitmer is making great strides. But in this country yesterday, we had 1,500 people die. 1,500 people will die today, and 1,500 people will die tomorrow. And that trend may tick down a little as we go along. But we've seen, as some states have reopened at the encouragement of the president, their cases are spiking. As beaches have reopened in some places, cases are spiking. As some assembly plants have reopened and meatpacking plants have reopened, cases are spiking. This is far from over, and it's farther from over because of the president's failure of leadership, which is spelled out in the case of Michigan in this poll that we conducted for Protect Our Care Michigan, for ourselves and obviously for the public at large. So with that, Diane, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Brad. Now we're going to hear from Jim Williams, a polling analyst with Public Policy Polling. He will take a deeper dive into the findings of this recent poll. Jim, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Diane, and thanks everybody for being on the call with us today. I'm going to talk about a poll that we did this week in Michigan. We found that voters in Michigan trust Governor Whitmer more than President Trump to address the coronavirus crisis. And we found that Biden leads President Trump in the race for the White House in the state. We found that a majority of voters in the state disapprove of the job President Trump is doing handling the coronavirus. Meanwhile, a majority of voters approve of the job Governor Whitmer is doing. Governor Whitmer's net approval rating for her handling of the virus is 26 points better than Donald Trump's. She has a plus 17 approval rating. It's 55% approved, 38% disapprove. At the same time, Trump has a negative 9 rating. Only 42% of Michigan voters approve of his job performance with respect to the coronavirus, 51% disapprove. And we asked head-to-head, we asked voters who they trust more to protect Michigan from the coronavirus, President Trump or Governor Whitmer. We found that Governor Whitmer beats out Trump 55-37, and that includes a 56-32 spread with independent voters. We also found that by a 10-point margin, voters do not think that President Trump is doing enough to protect America from the coronavirus. 42% said they think he's doing enough. 52% said they do not think so. We also found that Michigan voters think that social distancing measures need to stay in place, and they trust Governor Whitmer more than Trump to decide how to reopen the state. We found that only 26% of voters think that social distancing measures should be relaxed, while 66% believe that the current policies are correct, and that includes 68% of independent voters. Voters said that they would choose safety over speed when it comes to reopening the economy. When we asked voters to choose between reopening the economy more quickly or reopening it more safely, just 30% said that they would choose to reopen the economy more quickly. 65% said they would choose to reopen the economy more safely. And again, that number includes 66% of independent voters as well. We found that a total of 60% of voters say that President Trump and his administration deserve a great deal of responsibility, or at least some responsibility, for both the number of Americans who have died from coronavirus and the number of Americans who have lost their jobs because of the virus. We found that 43% of voters said that President Trump deserves a great deal of responsibility for lives lost, and 17% more said that they think he deserves at least some responsibility. Just 35% said that the administration deserves not very much responsibility for the number of deaths. And when it comes to jobs lost, 38% said that President Trump deserves a great deal of responsibility for that. 22% said some responsibility. And here again, just 37% said not very much responsibility. And among independent voters who are so crucial in Michigan and other places, 61% of those independent voters said that Trump deserves a great deal or at least some responsibility for both lives lost to the virus and jobs lost to the virus. What does all this add up to? Well, President Trump's overall approval rating in Michigan is just 44% approve, 51% disapprove. And we found in the poll that he trails Joe Biden 51-45 in a head-to-head matchup for president. So those are some of the key findings that we found in the poll, and I'll send it back over to Diane.
Thank you for providing that context, Jim. And now I want to take a moment to thank our next speaker, Dr. Rob Davidson, the Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Medicare, for his partnering with Protect Our Care today on this telepress conference. Dr. Davidson, please, you have the microphone.
Thanks, Diane, and thanks everyone for being here. As Diane said, I'm the executive director of the Committee to Protect Medicare. We're a national organization of doctors across 40 states advocating for healthcare and for our patients. I'm also, in fact, a 20-year practicing emergency physician here in West Michigan. And I appreciate the polling. I appreciate the political folks and the assessment of what's going on in Michigan. But I don't really need polls. Most of my docs, the people I talk to every day across the country in our committee and the docs I work with and the nurses I work with really don't need polls to tell us what we know to be true. President Trump has failed all of us. We feel like he's failed us on the front lines for sure, certainly failed folks in this country. Early on, President Trump dismissed this, and Brad did talk about that study from Columbia epidemiologists that came out yesterday showing how many deaths. If we put that out to now with 93,000 deaths, we could have potentially saved 75,000 deaths at this point had he acted a couple weeks earlier. And he tweeted March 9th, just a week before he decided to take it seriously, that everything's open and everyone should carry on with their lives. And that kind of messaging has continued throughout. At times, he's showed the virus the respect that it deserves, but most of the time, he seems to be battling against science, against data. And for someone who's practiced evidence-based medicine for 20 years, that just goes completely contrary to what I do every single day when I'm talking to my patients and explaining their path of care and potential harm and potential good that I can do with tests or with treatments. And it's extremely frustrating. One of the biggest black holes of this response is our lack of testing. President Trump repeatedly touts the total number of tests that we have done, and effectively, he is taking credit for the passage of time. If enough time goes by and we are daily doing an inadequate number of tests, the number at the end of the tunnel will look big and will be bigger than most other countries. He often tells us that we do more tests than South Korea. The problem is South Korea started doing their massive testing a week after their first case. In the United States, we went at least a month before we started doing any testing, and now 4 months after our first case, we still are doing one-third of the number of tests needed to adequately manage this virus. We now finally can test almost every symptomatic patient, but we don't have enough tests to do the hard work of contact tracing that is going to allow us to open safely and stay open safely. Another respect on which President Trump has failed is the adequate provision of protective equipment for our frontline healthcare workers and frontline workers across the state and across the country. We know that N95 masks can decrease the spread of virus to healthcare workers, and yet I still have the same mask I used for 5 days in a row, not as it is intended. I talked to a nursing home worker in Detroit this morning on a call who said she's using her mask for a number of weeks at a time. These are folks that are in direct intimate contact with people who could be spreading the virus, and then they could spread it on to other people. So we know what President Trump can do to get us tests, to get us PPE. He has the power to use the Defense Production Act, and he has been extremely reluctant to do so. We are calling on him to do that to help our frontline workers and to help us get out of this economic crisis and get back to work and open safely. And the other piece, just real quick, that I say, I think he has failed us on just a basic lack of leadership. Just yesterday, I believe, he told us that this the number of cases, 1.5 million, is a badge of honor because it says how much testing we're doing. He called healthcare workers warriors running into death like soldiers running into bullets on the battlefield. And I will tell him very straight up, we don't want to be warriors in his battle against this virus. And if he thinks we are his warriors, he should give us the armor that we need, the PPE, give us the tests we need so we can effectively manage this virus and we are not unnecessarily dying in his war. And so I would just ask the president to please, when he comes to Michigan, exhibit good leadership. Please wear a mask when you're at the Ford production facility. This models good behavior for the rest of the state, for the rest of this country. We know masks decrease the transmission of virus. And please, please get us the equipment we need, the tests, the PPE, so we can get America open safely again. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Davidson. Now we're going to hear from State Representative Abdullah Hamoud. Representative, you have the microphone.
Thank you, Diane, and good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you to the organization for doing the work. My name is Abdullah Hamoud, and I'm honored and privileged to represent Michigan's 15th House District, and the residents of my hometown, the city of Dearborn. The information that you've heard today is just another reminder that during this crisis, real leadership has come from states and our governor, Gretchen Whitmer. Unfortunately, the Trump administration has continued to play politics and mishandled this public health crisis from day one. You know, as a trained epidemiologist, we're taught to lead with the evidence. We're taught to lead with the research. We're taught to lead with the science. And unfortunately, what we're seeing happen at the federal level is Trump, who is leading with the politics. Much like his visit today to the Ford plant in Ypsilanti, where he's planning a victory lap for the PPE that's being produced right here in our state, PPE that our locals stepped up to produce, and that the federal government failed to source and secure. For those who can stomach the presidential briefings, it's also another politicized stunt of sorts playing out in real time. And this pattern of behavior is nothing short of problematic and one that puts millions of lives in danger. Rather than find ways to increase access to healthcare, Trump and his administration continue to do everything possible to undermine the Affordable Care Act, to limit access to quality, affordable healthcare. You know, we have received over 4,000 emails to my office since the beginning of the pandemic. And one thing we hear regularly from constituents is they are worried about the rising costs of and access to healthcare, especially with skyrocketing unemployment due to the crisis. And now more than ever, we should be doing everything we can to increase people's ability to obtain healthcare and take actions like we've done here at the state under our governor, waive out-of-pocket costs for public and private insurers for services and treatments related to COVID-19. Basics like testing and future vaccination should be, at a minimum, included and added to the set of essential services covered by the ACA and available to Michiganders and other Americans. Protecting the public's health should be our number one priority. COVID-19 has shown that when our public health infrastructure fails, everyone's life is at risk. The virus has wreaked havoc on our state, forcing small business to close and nearly 2 million Michiganders to lose their jobs. You know, I wake up each day and I make the tough calls to those whose jobs have been impacted by COVID and are seeking unemployment assistance. These are the tough conversations that renew my focus in addressing this public health crisis so that we can get the economy rolling again and back on track. But yesterday, the Michigan Department of, DTMB, the Department of Technology Management and Budget, announced unemployment rates in April reached 22.7%, the highest it's been since 1976. And in fact, since March, nearly 2 million Michiganders have applied for unemployment benefits. As our state continues to grapple with a decision on how to reopen our economy, we understand that we cannot rely on the Trump administration and that we here at the state, with our governor leading, have to do it. As other countries around the globe develop national strategies for reengaging and opening, we're doing so at the state level because state leaders are the ones who have stepped up to meet the occasion, not our federal administration. And so I commend the governor for her leadership throughout this pandemic. She certainly put the public health and the health and safety of Michiganders first from day one, and that's clear from the research, evidence-based, driven decision-making that she's implemented. We shouldn't be surprised by this polling information. Trump has failed to lead with the public health's interest. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative. And I want to thank all of our speakers for sharing your perspectives today in our telepress conference. At this time, I am going to open the floor to members of the press. I ask that you first state your name and the publication that you are with, and then we will direct the question to one of our speakers. Thank you.
At this time, if you have a question for any of our speakers, you can press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, that's *3 if you have a question. All right, our first question is going to come from Malachi Barrett at MLive. Malachi, you are live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having the call today. This is a question for Dr. Davidson. So the president has, you know, been regularly tested for the coronavirus, and there's no indication that he's carrying it. But I'm interested if you could speak more to the symbolic value of him wearing a mask at the Ford plant today.
Yeah, well, I will answer your question, but briefly, the test that they're using at the White House is the rapid dry PCR test. It's being used in many places. It's a rapid return, about 15 minutes. There was a study out of NYU that came out, 1,000 tests done, I think it was last week, and it still is preprint, has to be corroborated. But it showed with the dry method of PCR, and I won't get into the technicals, that there was a 48% false negative rate. And when they used the wet method, putting it in reagent, it was a 33% false negative rate, meaning, you know, someone who actually had the virus and potentially could spread it had a negative test. Now, you know, wherever we are, even if it's 20%, 10%, just know the tests aren't perfect. So we have a president being tested regularly, and it's likely he doesn't harbor the virus, but A, he could, and he could actually be a super spreader. B, the symbolic nature is huge. People in Michigan are watching, millions of people are watching him every time he's in public and having these quasi-rallies. And, you know, when we in healthcare and the public health and his own CDC are telling people you should wear masks, it decreases the risk of transmission. We have a study out of Hong Kong that showed a 75% decrease in the spread of virus when a mask was used. It was an animal model, but using a mask versus not, it was 75% effective at decreasing the spread. And then we have our national leader, you know, the top of the line, and not just people who follow President Trump no matter what. I mean, there's you know, a third or so of the population who are with him no matter what. But really, for the casual passerby who happens to look up at their TV set and they're watching, a Trump event, and they see the president without a mask, that just plants a seed in their head that says, well, people are telling me to do this, but I don't really think it's that important because the president doesn't think it's important. And, you know, I just think it's critical. We need all the help we can get. And if we can decrease the spread by 75% with a simple measure that does not infringe on anyone's freedom, that to me seems like a worthwhile venture. So I know that AG Nessel has requested that he do this, that Governor Whitmer is actually state law because of the executive order that he wears a mask in a closed public space, that the Ford plant's policy is that he does that. So I'm hoping for success. I want him to succeed in this effort, so I'm hoping he wears his mask. I'll be looking like everyone else to see what happens.
All right, Diane, it looks like that's all the questions that we have for today, so I'm going to toss it back to you to close the call out.
Okay, well, I want to one more time thank all of our speakers for joining us today and sharing of your time and your perspectives. It's very much appreciated. I want to thank the members of the press for covering our telepress conference today. So with that, I want to say have a great day, everyone. Be safe and stay healthy. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.